Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Here are some uncomfortable stats for you. Black children make up 5% of England's under 18 population, but they represent 8% of children currently in care. It's also a well-known fact that when it comes to children waiting for adoption, black boys have to wait the longest, waiting over a year longer than white children for their forever family. When we're talking about fostering, nearly a quarter of children in care are classified as black, Asian, or minority ethnic, but only 13% of foster carers are. And in the last couple of years, all children are waiting longer to find foster homes. And in England alone, we need 7,220 more foster families to meet the demand. Welcome to Black Bala Presents The Survival Guide, and this is episode 9. Today we're talking about fostering because there are more ways to mother than being someone's biological parent. Back when we did our motherhood survey in January 2020, we asked black women who fostered what their motivations were. The ethnic gap in available placements for black children was selected by 68% of respondents as being a top 3 factor motivating their decision. As always, there has been some hand-wringing and government talk about money being put aside, especially to recruit black, Asian, and minority ethnic families. And while I can't help but be sceptical about the actual success of such diversity schemes, fostering is incredibly important, which is why I needed to speak to today's guest.
I'm Anika Blake, from Birmingham. Oh my gosh, 30 years old. Remember we used to say we was in our 20s? Oh God. So yeah, I'm 30 years old. I'm a foster carer, hence why I'm here today to talk about my experiences. That's me so far. When I was a little girl, like before like boys came into the picture, I was always like, yeah, I'm going to be a mum, but I kind of picture it as being a single parent. I didn't really see it as being with someone else in, because that's what I knew, because I was raised in a single parent household. So when I pictured family, I just pictured, yeah, I'm going to have a baby and it's just going to be me looking after this baby, doing everything I want for this baby. So that was kind of my, when I was playing with Barbies and stuff, I didn't have no Ken coming around. It was just, yeah, Barbie and the baby just doing their thing kind of thing. So yeah, I was kind of play role in single parent household.
Anika did have families around her where there was a male presence in the household, but she just saw them as a different type of family setup. When she got older, she studied youth work and began working with young people as a career. She planned that one day, after she became a mother, she would foster children alongside her own family. But when her family circumstances changed, the plan changed.
My nephew ended up being in care. First of all, he was fostered and his foster placement broke down and then he ended up being in that care home. And due to like loads of different concerns and behavioural issues, he ended up being in a care home with 3-2-1 staff. So he had to have 3 staff to him. So in certain care homes, there'll probably be 3 staff and there'll be like 6 young people, but he could only be in a care home by himself with 3 staff. And because I've worked in care homes and I've done that kind of sector, I was thinking, I can't be out here saving other people's kids. And I got my nephew in there, just not really working out in the situation he is. Because my mum had him from birth. And the reason why he ended up being in care, because my mum got dementia, so she could no longer care for him. So I just saw it as I had to take over my mum's kind of role. I had to go in and, yeah, continue what my mum was doing and care and bring him up kind of thing. So it wasn't an easy path to become a foster carer because clearly I don't have no kids myself. But it was lucky through my experience of my career that I was able to apply and get him.
Even though Anika was going to be taking care of her own nephew, the assessment she undertook to become his foster carer can only be described as...
intrusive. So I do encourage people to do it, but it's hella intrusive. So first of all, when I was applying to put myself forward, because I said I'll be the best person to be with him, because when he was coming back to the family on the weekends, it wasn't like his behaviour was much better than what it was in the care home. So we were saying that he needs to be back in the family environment. So that was my argument to get him. So that's how I got started to get assessed and stuff. But when I started doing the assessment, it was, because they're asking you literally questions from like your childhood. How was you brought up? How was your parents? How did they bring you up? So obviously my mum used to bring up with the old school ruling and she used to beat us and kind of things. And they were saying, so what would you do in the future? And I was kind of thing. And I was like, well, I know that is wrong. I know hitting your child is wrong and I'll use different forms of discipline and stuff. So you kind of have to talk about what you would do because I haven't got children of myself, so I'll have to talk about the experiences of what kind of discipline I used when I was working within the care home. They're asking questions because at the time I was dating someone, so they're asking questions about who you're dating and do you think it's seen it to be long term. And it's a difficult one because like you're putting pressure on me to see if it's going to be long term, and if you ain't on it to be long term, I'm like, so I'm asking him what is it kind of thing, and then
awkward conversation.
Saying, and then she's saying that if he's looking to be a partner and come round to the house and stuff, he's got to get after DBS checked, and he was not looking for anyone to come to his house and be DBS checked and stuff. So that kind of broke down my dating relationship that I had in that situation. So you have to be like prepared in all areas in your life to do this, because also career as well, I was working full time, but because due to my nephew's behavioural issues, I had to leave work as well. So I had to fight, because when you're a family member, they don't give you as much funding as it was if you was an outside member. So I had to fight to get them to pay my salary if I wasn't working. They're asking questions like, oh, I have to do a medical exam. So you have to go to your GP and they have to examine you to make sure you're healthy, asking you questions of different things about your health. And they have to look at your medical records. So when my medical records went to them and they came back and they were like, Anika, so back in 2009, you had the STI checkup and you came back with chlamydia. So could you explain how that came about? I was like, yeah, I got chlamydia in it. Went and got a checkup. Like, and they're like, so in the future, do you think like that would, what would you do again? I'm like, clearly, I regularly got tested. I'll use condoms in future with like partners and stuff. Like, they really go into your life and you need to explain everything. So, yeah, it's intrusive.
Wow. Yeah, that is a lot. What would you say to people who feel put off by that level of kind of in your business?
I'd say it's a good thing to be honest, because they want to see how would you cope if a young person comes to you in these situations and how would you deal with it. So everyone's had mistakes and done things in the past. I'm not saying that you need to be perfect to come forward to be a foster carer, but they need to weigh out the risk to see how it's going to be onto the child. So as long as you did mistakes and you've overcome those issues and hurdles and you build those resilience to be able to continue in life, then I encourage people to come forward to be foster carers. Like, these are the people that we actually need to be in the system.
Culturally, a lot of us grew up in communities where our personal business was our personal business, and it was not meant to be taken outside of the home, let alone shared with strangers. Furthermore, the care system and social workers have not had the best reputations in our communities. One of the defining news stories of my childhood was Victoria Klimbe, the 8-year-old girl who was murdered by her great aunt and her great aunt's boyfriend. The inquiry that came after her death found that many organisations, including 4 different social services departments from 4 different local authorities, missed numerous opportunities to save her. That inquiry led to the introduction of the Children's Act in 2004, plus many other initiatives aimed to stop such a horrific tragedy from ever happening ever again. But still, social workers generally have been seen as untrustworthy by many of us, so the thought of being so thoroughly assessed by the system can put a lot of potential carers off from starting that journey. And that is understandable. But while they do rigorously screen potential carers for the safety of the children in their care, they are also on hand to provide support for foster families, as it's in everyone's interest that foster placements are successful.
So I get my own personal social worker. So my nephew has his social worker and I get my own personal social worker and she is amazing. It's so good that I got a black social worker as well, so she can understand the struggles because she has a teenage boy herself. And even though she's a social worker and she's in the system, she knows everything, she's still going through the same struggles and the trials of having a teenage black boy as well. So it's really good to have someone that can empathise and understand me in a cultural perspective. So that's how I really appreciate that support. There's also, you get to go on training courses and stuff. But luckily for my career, I've done a lot of this training, but there's still training courses available. Obviously, you get support with funding. So if you're a mainstream carer, you get paid a salary plus the child's allowance, so the children's allowance. But when you're a family member, certain councils will just pay you the allowance and they'll pay you something like £15 a week or something like that, which is not much support. But then they expect you to overwork or to be on benefits to top it up kind of thing, which is something that I want to campaign for and advocate for. Because if I believe that young people should try and remain in the family before you try and find people outside the family kind of situation. So that's something that I do want to campaign for. But support in other ways, I think it depends on your own personal family network and friend network, because they do ask for referrals to other people to speak to when you're getting assessed. So like your friends or family need to put 4 people forward. And usually they'll ask for people that will be in your support network in this kind of setup. So you're going to have a good base yourself. Fair enough, you can come forward and there'll be support in the community. But within your own personal life, if you got a good support network, that is good. And luckily, I got my siblings, which are amazing, and my friends, which are just there to counsel me when I'm there. Mm. Like when he's gone off on missing episodes and I'm there like, oh, the boy ain't came back. And they're like, oh, you'll be all right. So it's good to have that as a support network as well. There's services like Foster Talk and other charities that are there to support as well. Like they have helplines and they have services within the charity, like to help with your taxes, because I'm self-employed now and I need to do my taxes. So yeah, there's services like that to help you do that. Yeah, there's support out there, but it's also asking for the support. You can't just sit there and feel vulnerable and have everything pile on top of you. You actually need to speak up and ask for the support, and it actually is out there.
But of course, this is the survival guide, so we have to keep it real. There are still barriers and hurdles to overcome, especially when you're dealing with the cultural nuances of black children and black families and multiple local authorities who just do things differently.
At the moment, I'm having difficulties because at the moment, I'm working with one council and my nephew has a sibling that's in a different council. So obviously they do things differently. So at the moment, I ain't been able to have contact with his sibling because she's in a different council. So I'm having difficulties accessing that service and I'm having difficulties with that council. And what I find challenging about it from a culture perspective, because the sibling's been fostered into a white family setup and they're having difficulties, because I did get to go to one meeting and the foster mum actually asked if she could have support with doing my niece's hair. And I was there like, yes, me, hello, I used to do it. Can I like still have that bond kind of thing? And the person who chairs the meeting, the independent reviewing officer. So all the professionals except for my niece's social worker, which was black, and she was up for me supporting the foster mum doing this as well. But the independent reviewing officer was like, no, the foster mum's going to have to learn how to do it. She'll have to do tutorials and stuff like that. And, you know, because she's looking to be in her care full term. But I'm like, but what about the whole family set up, like with the family doing it? She doesn't need to go to salons. Like, this used to be our bond and stuff and doing things. And I just don't feel like they understand in the system, they don't understand their family and culture and how it's important to identity as well. And how removing it and saying someone else can replace that culture is just like, yeah, I just don't understand. And I feel like that can do more damage than good what they're trying to do kind of thing. So, yeah, I have difficulties with the social services, with like culture differences, I would say. And they don't understand how something can be really important to you, but they just see it as minor and nothing.
Yeah, that must be really hard. I remember someone asked me a question. I think they worked with a family who had a social worker, and I think the mum, it was the like biological mum of the daughter, was basically trying to justify to the whoever was overlooking the situation. She was trying to justify the amount that she spent like braiding her daughter's hair because she used to take, and basically the person was, whoever was in charge of this review, was basically saying that she was being irresponsible, like with her money.
Yeah, they will have certain allowances for like, say, getting your hair cut.
Yeah,
they don't say like £20 to get your hair cut, thinking you just get a blow wash and cut. Like, no, it's not blow wash and cut. So yeah, they need to understand the different cultural needs for each individual child.
And then, yes, yeah, that's what we talk about when we talk about systematic racism, just the fact that there's that complete ignorance.
Yes.
First of all, as to how your hair as a young black girl has such a impact on your self-esteem.
Yeah.
And then to like the fact that you going to spend money to do your hair isn't like some frivolous, like, oh, why is she spending all that? Like, no, like it's
an investment.
Oh my gosh, yeah. So the person was telling me about it. And so the person who asked me was white. She was like, is this like a normal amount to spend? And I was like, yeah, that's a normal amount to spend on on getting your kid's hair. She was like, oh, yeah, because like we're trying to fight them on this because they're trying to say that the mom's being irresponsible with money. And I was so mad. I was so mad. I
understand the frustrations, yeah. And that's what it is. It's like you're telling them something like, this is what it should be and this is how it should be. And it's just, you're hitting a wall because it's just like, no, they don't understand. This is how we've always do it. Because, yeah, the system is made up to look after white children, families, basically. The system isn't created for all the different cultures out there.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Now, Anika's also mentioned a couple of times the difference in support available for mainstream foster carers and kinship foster carers. Kinship foster carers are people like Anika, who are related to the child in care and have put themselves forward to foster them. For many situations, a kinship placement is preferable, as the child remains in the wider family network that they are familiar with the oversight of social workers to support the placement and ensure the child's general well-being. But kinship carers do not get the equivalent financial support that a mainstream carer would for the same child. When Anika put herself forward to care for her nephew, she had to advocate for the local authority to not only increase the financial support they were offering, but to actually pay the equivalent of the salary that she was giving up to be able to attend to her nephew's needs. It wasn't easy, but here's how she did it.
I only got it because I met with the CEO of the trust. I made a complaint and said to him, look, he's in a situation 3-1. Look how much money you're paying at the moment where he's in. And I'm telling you, I'm going to have to leave work and I'm not going on benefits. I'm not showing him that life. I want to show him, you know, a better life. So you're going to have to pay me my salary if you want me to have him. And at the end of the day, you're going to be saving because how much money are you paying for him to be in the care home? So that's kind of the argument that I got for them to actually pay.
The involvement of a local authority does make this approach to family a bit more complicated than most. One respondent to our survey described it as co-parenting with an authority figure that always gets the final say. While another said that such close involvement of a social worker can feel a bit unnatural. However, one woman said, "We had a black social worker complete our assessment. This coloured our experience in a very positive way. He understood instinctively how fostering could provide us and the young people with a mutually beneficial experience." And another woman, who is currently in the process of adoption, said that although it was a long road, there was still joy to be found being on the journey with her husband, her birth child, and their social worker. There are specific challenges and specific joys that do come with adoption or fostering. As one respondent said, "The challenges are mostly to do with the legal system and getting the child settled without their biological parents. The joys are the smiles and cuddles I get from being a parent and knowing they don't have to go through a care system that gives black children the bare minimum." And another said that the challenges were the realization that you are being assessed as to whether you would make a good parent. Also, you can find yourself falling into a parenting style from childhood that you don't like, because you have a blueprint. I'm constantly rechecking my consciousness. However, once we met our daughter, it was like it was always going to be her. She's 50-50 us throughout. Anika agrees with this assessment of the challenges that becoming a foster carer brought her.
It kind of brings out and highlights all your issues of childhood, because you parent how you wanted you to be parent kind of thing. So that's probably how I'm doing it. It's I'm parenting how I wanted to be parent. So it will highlight, for me, it's highlighting childhood issues that I haven't really overcome. So that will impact on my well-being. So I would say it's a lot of reflection and a lot of processing. Why am I thinking this? Why am I feeling this in certain situations?
Yeah, I think that's motherhood in general, to be honest, because I was even just having two kids myself, I just feel all those issues that you had when you were a kid, they definitely come up when it's time. You thought, oh, now I'm over it, I'm cool, I'm an adult, and then you come and you have a child and you're oh wow, I still need to deal with that, I still need to. And I think that that's just the nature of any kind of parental position.
Yeah.
It makes you think again, how was I parented? Do I want to parent the same way that I was parented, or do I want to change certain things? Are there habits that I need to break which are actually harder? Because I think that you can say, oh, you know, I'm not going to do this like my parents did it, but because that's all you know.
Yeah,
to actually change and do something different, it's hard, because it's what's the difference? I don't actually know what the difference is. Yeah. I just know I don't like this. So yeah, there's a lot of parallels in that. As soon as it comes to caring for a child, whether they're biological, whether they're related, whether you're fostering. Like, I think there's so much of the same things kind of comes up.
Yeah.
So yeah, like all forms of family, fostering can be really hard. I asked Anika what helps her to survive and thrive.
Self-care. Definitely self-care. And me personally is having something to look forward to. If I can focus my mind on having something to look forward to, even if it's just a meal out with friends, like something like I can prepare and get myself ready for, like that helps me get through the hard times. Like when I don't have nothing to look forward to, I'm like, yeah, this is crap. I start thinking all the negative stuff about the situation I'm in. So if I can have something positive to look forward to, or just to be working on, if I'm working on like projects, or if I'm working on an essay about something, or doing positive things with your family, like doing things with my mom, or doing things, even though I have a challenging times with my nephew, sometimes just doing positive things with him, like we made dream catchers the other day, like doing something positive with him, like just to get over the negativity, like just to see, show that we can do positive things as well. So yeah, it's just flipping, you know, your negativity. I know it sounds simple, but it's flipping the negativity into the positivity in some kind of way. I'm kind of in survival mode, to be honest. Yeah. At the moment, I'm in survival mode. I haven't reached that self-actualization when I'm like, yeah, I'm at the peak. Let's do this. You know, I'm currently at survival mode at the moment. Like, I'm being honest, I'm going through it. So.
It's been just over a year since Anika began fostering her nephew. And while she feels like she's still getting to grips with this new dynamic, it hasn't dampened her desire to foster more children or to have one big blended family of her own one day.
I'm ready to do the whole world after this challenge. Like, I'm saying as soon as I can, you know, get another young person in, I'm like literally doing this. I would like to do it. Like start a black care home eventually, because I can't like foster everyone, like have 10 young people in general. But if I cannot foster everyone, I would like to do a children's home which is black orientated, so you know they can meet those cultural needs. My attitude has changed in the sense that I feel like it's prepared me more for motherhood. Like to say when I have my own, I'm gonna be like, yeah, I'm on it, like it's so prepared kind of thing. So if anything, it's made me more excited, more broody maybe to have children of my own now. So yeah, it's kind of made me more enthusiastic about it. Even though, you know, we have the nuclear family set up where you have the mom, dad, two kids, fence, dog and all that. But don't know, I just think traditionally and like in different, well, my culture, in the Caribbean Jamaican culture, we do have not that typical nuclear family, because some of the times my mum was brought up by her grandma, so her mum wasn't around, and sometimes your kids are with their aunties or different kind of setup. So already there's already not the typical nuclear family setup. So I'm just, you know, expanding it to 2020 style with bringing in the foster kids into the setup. So it's already wasn't traditionally nuclear, so it's just, you know, changing it up a little bit more.
Finally, Anika had some advice to share with anyone who is considering fostering older children.
I would say just having resilience and patience, even though have those high expectations of them, but have the patience for it to come to those expectations, because it's not going to happen overnight. And that's what I need to keep saying to myself as well, because when things keep, you know, happening and I'm like, oh, we're back here again kind of thing, because it's hard to break those habits. But if you keep with the consistency of your positivity, you know, you'll see the rewards, and you'll get those intrinsic rewards in the long run. Like, they don't always come immediately. So it's patience and definitely having resilience to bounce back from certain situations, like, quickly, basically. With fostering, this isn't the only sector that you can go in to help young people, because you can do lodgings as well, which is 16 to 18 year olds, because there's youth hostels which are 16 plus. So what they want to do is get them more into family environments as well. So there's 16 to 18 year old lodgings, which literally you just need to have a room in your house. And that's when you don't have too much support from social services. So it's just literally a room in your house that you can support a young person to come and live in your home. And also you can be like a respite carer. So you just have them when they in crisis or whatever and they need somewhere else to stay. So you haven't got them all the time. So there's different avenues that you can do to be like foster care and help in the system where there's young people that are looked after.
If you are interested in fostering or adoption, you can get in touch with your local authority or you can visit corum.org.uk. That's corum.org.uk. Corum has one of the largest independent adoption agencies in the UK and also has lots of expert information on fostering. Thanks for listening to episode 9 of Black Ballad Presents The Survival Guide. I hope you've already subscribed and already rated and reviewed us in Apple Podcasts, but if you haven't, don't worry, you can go do it now. This episode was written by me, Gentella Benson, and produced by Christina Moore of Don't Skip.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Bowl and Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Bowl and Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Hey, folks, I'm Mark Maron from the WTF Podcast, and this episode is brought to you by Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues, your ally to help tackle your allergy symptoms this season. I love the change of seasons, but nobody loves pollen and all those other things floating in the air that make you sneeze during this nice weather. Kleenex Ultra Soft Tissues are hypoallergenic and allergist approved. So fight back against watery eyes and runny noses without worrying about irritating your skin. For this allergy season, grab Kleenex and face allergies head on.